morning, if you'll be turning your Bibles to Matthew 28, Matthew the 28th chapter, we're going to read the last part of that text. So good to be with you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you've come our way. If you will, please fill out a visitor's card, a little blue folder in the back. Let us know who you are. Please stick around. Let us get to know you. Shake your hand. We really are glad that you are here. If you have any questions about our service or about this congregation, we'd be glad to entertain those questions and talk to you further. It's been a good morning worshiping together, remembering our Lord's death for our sins. Appreciate the good prayer that we heard a few minutes ago, directing our minds in scriptural thought and guiding us in our thoughts together toward God and who we are supposed to be. I want to talk some this morning about that idea, about the issue of discipleship. And that's what Jesus talks about some at the end of Matthew 28. Beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The Gospels give us an interesting picture of those who followed Jesus. Most specifically, the disciples, as they're often called, or the apostles, as they're called in some of the Gospels even early on, that Jesus chose to be with him and to go with him when he is teaching in various villages and to different groups of people and the crowds. He had his select group who were going with him. And to me, it was always somewhat of an encouragement as I read texts like verse 17, where it says, "They saw him and they worshipped him, but some doubted." Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus for 3 years, walking around with him, seeing him heal people, hearing him teach and guide the multitude toward truth, being in his presence again after he had risen from the dead, and standing before him, and even falling down and worshiping, but still having doubts? And even though the disciples are pictured this way, very often in the Gospels, we see their doubts, we see their failings, we see how often they don't actually believe in Jesus the way they ought to. And the thing that sticks out to me, even in this text, is that they continue to follow, even in their doubts, even with the questions that they have, they still go to Galilee and they wait for him there. And at the end of the Gospel of Luke, as Luke is describing a very similar type of setting here, giving us some more details, and they're told to go to Jerusalem and to wait there to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And despite the doubts that they clearly have, as they're told to us in this text, they go and they wait. Because that's what disciples do. And whatever failings they may have had, and whatever doubts they had, they truly were disciples of Jesus. And I want us to talk this morning about what a disciple is. In fact, they are told here in verse 19 to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. They were the disciples of Jesus, and now he's instructing them in some of his final words before he leaves the earth and ascends back to the Father. He says, "I want you to go and make disciples of all nations." What does that look like? What does it mean that he wants them to make disciples? There are a lot of different ways we could take this concept or this idea. I want to look at three this morning, three ways in which this discipleship can be understood. And really the substance of all of that, the foundation of everything that has to do with discipleship, at least in terms of what we're talking about, is the idea of Christ-likeness, being like Jesus. All three of these ideas are going to tie in to being like him. In fact, that's what he wanted from his disciples who were following him on earth, those who were walking around with him and seeing him teach and preach and heal. He wanted them to act like him. He wanted them to believe like him. He wanted them to pray like him. He wanted them to follow him in every way that they could. Because that, in essence, is what discipleship is. And so as we're talking about discipleship this morning, we need to understand that what true discipleship is trying to be like Christ. And I think at that foundational level, we all understand this, and none of this is going to be something that is substantially new to you this morning, but I want us to revisit the idea of what discipleship means in our life and take this term and break it down into what it is, its essence, or what it really means for us, what it means for me, what it means for you. What does it mean to be a disciple? I would suggest to you, first of all, that being a disciple means I'm a follower. It means I'm a follower. That's a hard thing for us to swallow in our culture. I mean, we're told to be leaders. to go out there and to make something of ourselves and to be different and to be unique and all these terms that we are guided, and all those are good things in their own setting. But what discipleship means and what it is about in my life is being a follower. And I mean, it's following the right thing and following the right person and the right ideas. But at the very basic foundation of what discipleship is, it means that I follow, I don't lead. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who want to lead when it comes to religion. They want to do things in their own way. And rather than just simply following Scripture and following Jesus and following the one who is the head, who is the leader. Unfortunately, some want to set themselves up as leader. And Peter warns about this in 2 Peter, that there are going to be ones who come, false teachers, false prophets, just like they had them in the Old Testament, who want to pull people away from what is the truth. They want to lead people because of their greed and because of their jealousy, because of their corruptness. They're going to pull people after them. We talked a little bit about that last week. And they want to get a gathering, and they want to be the leader. But the reality is that Jesus is the head. Jesus is the leader, and I am merely a follower. That's hard. I don't like to follow. Well, some people have that personality more than others. But a lot of us like to be in front. Even when I walk with my kids, we'll walk to the park, they fight and they bicker about who gets to be in front. They want to be leaders. They don't want to be following somebody else. They want to be the one that's leading the way. And that's so often how we are. But discipleship is about following. Specifically, is about following Jesus Christ. The idea of this word is the concept of association. These disciples, in the beginning, the ones following Jesus literally and theologically, these disciples, they shared the views, the ideology of their teacher to such a degree that they're associated with him in almost every way, and they're constantly associated with him. That's the idea of discipleship. And so they have a particular set of views. In this instance, Jesus being the teacher, they are his disciple. They are following him in a very literal way. They're following him around Judea, and they're following him around Galilee, and they're taking part in the things that he's doing. They're doing what he tells them to do. He says, hey, you go get me a donkey. I'm going to come into Jerusalem. So they go and they get him a donkey, and he comes into Jerusalem, and he tells them, you go out and you go and you heal people, and you come back to me and you tell me what happened. And they do that. They go out and they heal people, and they come back and they tell Jesus what took place, because they're disciples, they're followers. They're taking commandments from Jesus, and they're doing them. And he's opening the word to them. He's describing to them what the Hebrew Scriptures were all about. And so they're listening to Jesus as he's telling his parables and as he's teaching the people and he's teaching them privately. They're listening to what he says about God and who God is and what it means for them and what the kingdom is. They're listening to him both on a literal sense as they're following him around, but also theologically they're learning his particular views. They're learning what faith in God is really about from Jesus. They're following him. They are his disciples. So much so that Acts 11, verse 26, tells us the disciples in Antioch were called Christians. They're called Christians because they're associated with Christ, because they followed him. He was the teacher. He was the one to whom they were associated. And so these disciples, these particular disciples, that's not always how the word was used and who it was applied to and the object of discipleship. But in this case, it pertains to Scripture. These disciples are those who followed after Jesus Christ. And that's, in fact, what the apostles here were supposed to do. They were God's special witnesses. Jesus had chosen them. And Luke 24 and Acts 1 goes into more detail on this. But we are not witnesses like they are witnesses. They had a very specific and special role as being the chosen ones of Jesus to then go out and to preach this message as eyewitnesses. They were the witnesses of Jesus. They were with him. They were proclaiming this faith. They were teaching the world of something that had never been known before. They were revealing the mystery. And there is a sense in which we indirectly do something like this, but they are specific witnesses, and it is declared that way. And people get that confused in society. I am not a witness like Peter. I'm not a witness like Paul. There's a sense in which I can testify to what Scripture is, but even people within Scripture, even early church writers, they recognize the difference about these witnesses and who they were. But they were there with him. They followed him. They heard his teachings directly, and now they are bearing witness to this to the world. And what we do is we follow that message. the message of the Christ, the message of Jesus. But what I want us to think about this morning in reference to this idea of following, just as the disciples, even in their worst moments, were associated with Christ. You imagine Peter there standing by the fire. And even though he has denied Christ, even in his denial, people still associated him with Christ. He could not separate himself from that. He said, he's a Galilean. Isn't he with Jesus? And even though he denied it, people still realize that. How about us? Do people associate us with Christ? In our lives, am I walking around and people are looking at me? Do they say, that person is with Christ? He follows Jesus. In your life, at work or school or wherever you go, and people see you and see the things that you are doing, are they saying that person is a Christian, a real Christian? Not just they wear the title or they say the name, but are they really doing what the scriptures say? Are they really following Jesus? That's the idea. Are they living Jesus in their life? Christ-likeness. Ephesians chapter 4 is a powerful text. Some of you who may be connected to me on Facebook may have seen me post something about Ephesians 4 and the nature of that passage. And the idea of what's going on there in the latter part of chapter 4 of Ephesians is this concept that the law is tied up in who Jesus is. He embodies what it means to follow God. And so this is what Paul says to them. They have become callous. This is verse 19, Ephesians 4 and verse 19. They have become callous, have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. And he goes on to talk about some more ethical types of things in living. But the point is, you were taught in Jesus. You were taught by Jesus. You were taught by the life of Jesus. You see the way Jesus lived, and you see the things that Jesus did. You are taught by that as the truth is in Jesus. He embodies it. And you see that in the way that he lived, and the way that he taught, and the things that he said, and you follow that. That's what Christianity is. That's what discipleship is. And so in my life, I have to ask myself, am I really a disciple? When people look at me, do they see someone who is truly following Jesus, one who has been taught in Jesus because the truth is in him? Not simply that I follow some rules or that I show up sometimes at an assembly or I do, which those are all good things to do, but that I'm actually living like Jesus Christ. I'm actually looking at his life. I'm looking at the revealed word of God, seeing what it says about him and his nature and his character, and I'm trying to live that every day. My follower. Guess what? That's what discipleship is. Discipleship also means I'm a learner. So discipleship means I'm a follower, I'm looking at Jesus, and I'm doing the things he says to do, but I'm also a learner. That's the essence of that word. Disciple means to be taught. It can mean to be a pupil, in fact. And it's interesting, actually, that Paul, in Acts 9, verse 25, it says he has his disciples. It's not typically how we think of that word. The word is very general, doesn't always associate itself with Jesus. It can have other objects, other subjects. And so in this setting, he's in Damascus, and his disciples, they protect him from those who want to kill him. And the idea there is he's teaching people. There are people who are his pupils. Paul is there. He's helping people learn. And so in some sense, they are his disciples. That's how the word is being used there. Because the idea of discipleship means I'm someone who learns. I'm interested in learning. I don't want to be stale. I don't just get a few ideas in my mind. I'm just happy with that, and I just stay in that state forever. That's not a disciple. A disciple is not one who simply gets baptized in water and then comes out and believes that they are saved and then goes out about life just where they are. That's not a disciple. A disciple is one who learns, one who follows, one who's interested in growing. Not someone who becomes dull in hearing, as we see in Hebrews chapter 5. In fact, the Hebrew writer criticizes this. He says you should be so far beyond where you are now, but you stop listening, you stop growing. That's not what a disciple is. And so when Jesus instructs his disciples, he says, you go and you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This initiation, this death with Christ, and this resurrection to new life. But it does not stop there. He says, teaching them. Why? Because disciples are learners. They continue to learn.
They're interested in knowing more and more about who Jesus is and taking in more into their life about him and becoming more like him. And so they're never satisfied with where they are. They always want to be learning more. And it's not about ritual. It's not about tradition. It's not about going through motions. It's about truly being like Jesus. I told you in the very beginning, all of this comes back to being Christ-like. That's what it's all about, following him, looking at the way he lived, and then learning more and more about him. That's why Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, he says you need to supplement your faith with knowledge. That knowledge is going to create this cycle where we develop virtue or moral excellence, which leads to self-control and perseverance, and it leads to love and brotherly kindness. All of this is cyclical, just continues to build as our knowledge grows, and that's what discipleship means. It means we learn, that we're interested in learning, that we continue to dig, and sometimes even we have doubts. And we address those doubts. We're not afraid of those doubts. We don't run from those doubts, but we continue to follow. We continue to learn. That's what the disciples did. And they were not perfect by any means. And we see various times in which they failed, in which they said the wrong things, in which they did the wrong things, in which they really didn't do what Jesus wanted them to do, but they continued to attach themselves to him. They were associated with him. And they learned. And by the end of the story, their lives have been shaped. Their lives have been changed by the life of Jesus. By seeing what he was really about and learning about who he really was and what he truly demanded of them. It takes a lot of work. So I have to ask myself, am I really interested in learning? Or do I just find it more comforting to stay where I am and just think the things I've always thought, to not challenge myself? That might be comforting to some extent until we have these doubts, until the challenges must be addressed, until the doubts must be realized. And if we want to be true disciples, that means we're going to be learners, not just followers, and not just looking at a distance, not just kind of hearing the word, but we're actually going to learn about it. We want to know more. Let me suggest also about that, that we look outside ourselves on this issue. Maybe that is the easier part of discipleship. That I or you individualistically in our lives, we realize we need to learn, that we need to grow, that we need to look at Scripture. But what about the new convert? What about the one who is weak in faith? How can we help someone in that situation? As someone who has never known much about Jesus, and they learn about him, or maybe we get them into a study and we teach them some about it, we get them to the point where they're willing to do this first part, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and we get to that point. What about after that point? Do we have systems in place? Do we have goals in place in which we're going to disciple them? We're going to teach them. We're going to help them be learners so that they don't just fall off the map after a few weeks or a few months or a few years, being overcome by doubts that they don't know how to address. Discipleship means we're learners. We're interested in learning. We're interested in growing. Paul told the Philippian brethren, "Join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Sometimes we need to take people in, try to guide them in places that they're weak. Just as Paul had his disciples, people he taught, people who learn from him. And sometimes there are people that need that from us, that we need to be willing to teach, that we need to disciple people in that sense of the word. That's what congregation is about. That's what this group is about. It's about helping each other, encouraging, uplifting, and growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can learn, so we can follow more closely. In the text, it doesn't stop there, though, in Matthew 28. He says, "You go and you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you." Disciples are not just followers. They're not just learners. They are doers. It's not just about hearing things. It's not just about following people around. It's more than that. The disciples are not just believers who on a mental level maybe kind of assent to some ideas or some ideology. They're not people who just like to learn and sit maybe academically and take things in. They are practitioners of faith. There's more to it than that. There are plenty of people who know a lot about the Bible, who are experts in Scripture, experts in certain parts of Scripture, who know every detail about certain books of the Bible, who don't live it at all, who aren't interested in living it. People can learn. They can learn a lot about Jesus. They can learn a lot about Scripture, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily doing it. It doesn't mean they're living in their life. It doesn't mean they're practicing the faith. So discipleship is tied up in all of these ideas that we're following, learning about Jesus. We're following after him. We are doing the things not only that he has told us to do, but we are doing the things that we saw him do. That's true discipleship. Disciples are doers. They're doers of the word. We sit at a distance. We're not like Jesus' disciples who literally followed him around in Judea and Galilee, watching the things that he did. But we do have the eyewitness accounts of that. We do have their record of the things that he did, the story of his life and the story of their lives and how they interacted. And we can learn about what faith looks like from them. And then we can take that into our own life and begin to do the things that they did. We can begin to live the things they have instructed us to do. He says, you teach them to observe all that I commanded you. He gave this role to the disciples. This is why it's important, why I mentioned it earlier. They had authority from God. They had authority from Jesus. He says, you go and you teach them to observe all that I commanded you. All the things I told you about over these 3 years, the ways in which I guided you. Now you take all that and you go and you teach these disciples of all nations. You teach them to observe, to do the things that I have told you to do. One of the sad things that we see in Scripture so often are people who hear but don't really hear. That's what we see in Ezekiel, in our class we've been having in Ezekiel, that people will listen. They would listen to Ezekiel. The people in Jerusalem, they would listen to Jeremiah and to Isaiah and the other prophets, but that didn't mean they would actually really listen. They would hear them. They had ears, but they wouldn't really hear. And the point of that concept, the point of that idiom is they're not doing it. They're not doing anything about it. They might hear the actual words. They might hear the actual message. They might hear the commandments that Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or others who are telling them what to do, they might hear those things physically, but then they don't take them in. They don't do anything about them. They are not true followers of God. They're not interested in real learning. And so one of the sad stories of Scripture, as is predicted by Isaiah, even, is that in the time of the Christ, there would be those who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. And therefore, they are not disciples. They don't follow. They don't learn. And so the challenge for us is not just to hear, not just to hear the words being spoken. It's not just to read some text and maybe learn some things from them, but it is to take them into our heart and actually live them in our life. James talks about this in James chapter 1 with this illustration of the man who looks in the mirror. You're likely familiar with this in James 1, the latter part of this text. And he says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I like how James gets practical there at the end of that statement. He gives this illustration of the man who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he's looking at. But then he gets down to the real point and says it's about doing the word. It's about practicing these things. And this is what it looks like. The person who has true religion, he guards his tongue. He doesn't just say whatever comes to his mind. He doesn't allow his heart to be deceived and thinking that the body is separate from the spirit or whatever kind of nonsense people will come up with. He realizes that works and deeds are important, that true and pure religion before God is to take care of orphans and take care of widows and to keep remove ourselves unspotted from the world, not letting ourselves become like the world, to be different, to be separate. That's what we've been called to. And so to be a doer of the word, and to be a practitioner of our faith, and to follow after Jesus, and to learn who he truly is, means to embody the idea that I'm going to be different. I'm going to be separate from the world. I can't assimilate into the world and be like them, and truly be a disciple of Christ. So I have to ask myself, as I look at my life, and I read scripture, and I learn, when I look at Jesus and I look at his life and the way he lived, do I see myself in that? Is there an effort in my heart to be like him, to be Christ-like? Am I truly dedicated to following him in every way I possibly know how? Or have I simply deceived myself that in going through some motions and doing some activities, somehow that makes me religious? It's an important question. It's so easy for us to feel comfortable where we are. But in some senses, discipleship means we're not comfortable. It means we're always striving for growth and to be different. Become something more than we are, to measure up to him who is the head, Christ Jesus. Not measure up to my neighbor. Not measure up to the person at work next to me in the cubicle, to the person at school, not to measure myself by any of those people, to measure up to him who is the head, Christ Jesus, to become mature in my life by being renewed in the spirit of my mind and becoming after the likeness of God in true holiness and righteousness. It's a high calling, but it is the call of God to all those who will listen with open ears. And maybe that you need help this morning. Maybe you are not in Christ. Maybe you haven't fulfilled that first portion of this idea of becoming a disciple, in which you told them you go and you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is this initial portion in which we become like Jesus in his death and like him in his resurrection. We become a new person. Or it could be that you just haven't allowed yourself to learn. You stayed where you are, stagnant for years and years or months and months, whoever you may be. And you realize that's wrong. And it's time to change. We're calling you to do that this morning if that's where you are. We invite you with a song that we'll stand and we'll sing together. And if you feel that need, why don't you come as we sing together this morning.